it to them. If you hear something that piques your interest or that you have a question or comment about, do me a favor, write us at youthvoice@hotmail.com or feel free to give me a call and we'll talk personally at 425-258-9211, extension 106. I want to begin this conversation by talking about what drugs are, what and what they do to your body. So, for instance, when we are let's just take the Snohomish County area for instance. What kind of drugs are there available right now that you could, if you wanted to, this evening, you can go out and buy them?
There's lots.
There's anything from alcohol to marijuana to crank to anything, pretty much anything.
Okay, give me some more anythings. Like, what are we talking about?
Heroin.
You can buy heroin in
acid,
Snohomish County.
LSD.
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Okay.
Pharmaceutical drugs.
Like what? Anything. Pharmaceutical drugs.
Vicodin. Okay. T3s. Anything.
What? Tylenol 3s.
Yeah. Percocet.
Prozac.
Yeah, Prozac.
Are people actually
Ritalin.
Buying Prozac and
yeah.
Ritalin and
yeah.
stuff to take?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Even stuff as little as NyQuil, people are, you know, taking those.
They NyQuil.
Taking it like in
yeah,
large quantities?
Yeah, yeah, trying to get a buzz off it.
Wow. Off of DayQuil?
Yeah, NyQuil or DayQuil or whatever. Yeah, nighttime sniffling, sneezing stuff.
Wow.
Help you get your Z's. They take
yeah,
it to the extreme.
So, here's a question: when people are out purchasing these drugs, who are you buying them from?
Anyone who has them. Could be someone who just bought them for themselves and has a little extra on them. Dealers, people who make them.
So, when you're talking about people who are dealers, are they dealers that are your own age, or are they adults?
Most of them are people that I've heard from are people our age. You know, teenage, a little older.
Would anyone else like to share
like
their thoughts? I definitely want to hear what Neil has to say, but are we talking only? I mean, are adults selling drugs to teens?
I think some are. I haven't really come in contact with any, but I have a friend who's actually a really good friend, teenager, who actually has little marijuana plants in her room. I mean, as soon as those things get bigger, I don't think she's going to have them all for herself, you know. What is she going to do with them? Well, she's obviously going to go out and share the wealth, and why not get a little money for it while you're at it?
Very, very interesting. Josh, do you have some comments?
Well, it usually seems to be like the teenage type, you know, young acting, but like I have friends that, you know, one of my friends, he was 23 years old. I mean, that's considered pretty much an adult, and he was selling to younger kids, you know, well, high schoolers, you know, and he acted like he was 10
years old.
But that
can be anywhere from 16 to, what, 18? I mean,
yeah.
16-year-old is pretty young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They were still kids. They were just, you know, he had morals. He wouldn't sell to elementary kids, but...
No, good. At least he drew the line somewhere.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Very good of him. He full of moral fiber. Yes, sir.
Well, I haven't come in any contact with people who are older, well, much older than I am, probably around... The oldest person that I have found out has dealt drugs, probably the oldest has been about 21.
Okay.
And, I mean, people will, you know, these people, adults, you know, supposedly responsible, will even, you know, go and get you some alcohol if you give enough money, you know. And that's illegal in itself, let alone the controlled substances they also sell, you know. I knew a guy who, recently he'd been selling for quite some time and recently just got busted for having a bunch of marijuana, a bunch of coke, and a bunch of methamphetamines, like, in his house. And
did he have them there with the intent to distribute them to people in the community? I hear people are nodding their heads. Yeah.
I think so.
Very, very interesting. Here's my question about folks like that. People who are stockpiling drugs or they have they're in their house. What are their parents doing? I'm just curious. I mean, it would seem, I guess, if you were dealing in drugs, it would be a little difficult to hide it. I mean, you know, lots of visitors coming over, lots of...
Well, as for the guy who just got caught, he used to do it with his parents.
Mm-hmm, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Like, he grew up with it, and they sold it. And
very, very interesting.
He was really against it for quite some time, but just once you're around it for forever, basically, there's not much you can do. I mean, there is, but you sort of feel defeated.
Well, you sort of, yeah, definitely. I mean, you live what you learn.
Yeah. I mean, that's very, if that's all you've sad, ever been taught, then what else are you going to do?
Talk to me about how, when the, you say that he at one point he was against drug use or selling drugs or both.
It was his girlfriend's influence.
It was his girlfriend's influence.
Yeah, because she was clean, but then eventually she ended up just like him. So
here's a question I have for you, and I don't want anyone to out themselves or make themselves feel uncomfortable, but oftentimes in my history of working with teens, I meet somebody and they say, yeah, I'm never going to do drugs. I'm never going to do drugs. And then something happens, and they make that choice to do drugs, and they do them aggressively. What is that? What is that that happens?
Well, it's different for everybody. It could just be stress or curiosity or boredom.
Get a little closer to the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Stress or curiosity or boredom. What do you think the number one reason is? Why does somebody begin to do drugs?
Well, it's sad, but for a lot of people, it's just, I want to say I did it type of thing.
And they want to say they did it because of their friendships or because of, or just for their own personal history book.
It's sort of like a trophy, I think. It's like, I've done more drugs than you have, and I do them more, and I know more people who have it, and blah, 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 blah.
So let's talk about, does anyone else have a comment related to what we were just talking about? Yeah, come on.
Well, yes, what parents thought about that. Well, I had a friend, he's about 16 years old, and his parents kind of denied it, you know, like, oh, it's okay, and, you know, he couldn't do wrong and this and that. And
they denied that he was doing drugs? Or
yeah, and I mean, but he basically kind of had control over them, and eventually, you know, he was doing it in his room all the time and stuff, and they were trying to sell. They're trying to sell their house one day, and they had some people coming over and looking at the house, and they went to show him the master bedroom, which that the kid had taken from his parents, out of the master bedroom, and they walked in there and they were taking a hit off this huge bong, while they were showing the house off to some people, you know, some potential buyers.
And
you know?
What, and about that particular kid, what was the response to that? Was that a big funny thing? Was that
yeah,
a big
of course.
Ha-ha?
Of course, and that's the thing, like, his you know, his parents didn't do anything about it. Like, it's almost like they pretended like he didn't do it. Oh, you know, he couldn't do that, or, you know, if he's doing it, he has good reason, because he's a stressed kid or stuff. They would always make excuses for him, and, you know, he was young too, and
well, how did that all pan out? Do you know this kid still, or
yeah, you know, he's in trouble with the law all the time now. He dropped out of school, and he decided he's not really into that right now, so he's probably gonna, you know, do that later in life, whatever, you know.
Right,
so
whatever. You
his parents support him there, and you know, he's been stealing cars and. You know, I'm surprised he's not in prison right now, but I guess he's probably in between prisons, so.
Well, then here's my question. In that case, and there are lots of cases, and we all know those people that are sort of destined for some trouble. Is it the drugs, or is it something else? I mean, is that somebody is addicted to drugs, is it because of the allure of drugs, or is it because there's something else going on?
Well, I think it somewhat had to do with other things. You know, I mean, I think it had to do with peer pressure and just kind of the whole fitting in thing. I mean, like, he was never really a cool kid until he started, you know, to act like a little G, you know, he wanted to be a little gangster.
And then he had all kinds of friends?
Yeah, seriously, he did. And then all these girls liked him too, you know, and blah, blah, blah. All he was doing was talking smack all the time and this and that. And all of a sudden, you know, this was his fame. This was like, you know, he found what he was destined to do kind of thing. And it just got him into more and more drugs, really. So I think it was really social.
So it's a social thing. So it started out a lack of sort of friends and those sorts of things and yeah, social.
It was really boredom,
and
boredom with him and like lack of motivation, and then it just kind of led to that, I guess.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Another comment.
I'm sorry, I just forgot what the question was.
Well, we're just basically talking about drug use and in stories like this where there's somebody who's sort of destined for some trouble.
Oh, I remember. remember now. You asked if it had to do with drugs or if there's something else.
If there's another underlying issue.
I knew I had something to say about that. I think it has a lot to do with the home issue. I think that a lot of the reason that kids start doing drugs is because of their parents, and their parents haven't been around for them, and they find other ways to get the attention that they need. And be it, you know, going and doing drugs with their friends or going to parties and doing whatever, I think that basically they're just starved for attention.
Got it. Got it. Jeff has got something to say. Yes, sir.
Well, On that note, I've been there, and it really doesn't get you any attention. It just gets you into trouble if your parents are, you know, like mine, who are against that sort of thing.
Right.
It just gets you in trouble, and that's something, you know, my parents trust me, you know, and I trust myself, to be honest, with my parents, and it's just, I don't know. It just seems like sometimes the wrong thing to do right now.
But, you know, I guess I hear from some folks, even in our midst, who say there's really nothing wrong with doing drugs. And that's a big issue right now. I mean, you've got programs like DARE. You've got the message that's out there right now is that drug use is bad, period. And you, do you feel like that is the case for everyone, or is it just the case for you?
Not everyone. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just something that, you know, I've done. I got the experience. I don't need it. It's nothing that I really feel is necessary in my life anymore. You know, I used to feel that I needed it, and now it's just like.
Talk to me about why you felt like you needed it. What was that? What drove you to use drugs?
Well, it was when I was first started, it was like during my more depressed era, and I was just feeling, you know, totally down on myself, and I didn't feel worth anything. And then, you know, it's like eventually I started feeling, you know, I'm a better person, you know, not because of the drugs or not using the drugs or anything. You know, you can still be a good person and use drugs. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact that I started feeling like a good person, and then I just felt like, you know, I don't need this, you know, and then it went down to occasional, and then it went, you know, now it's nil.
No, not at all. Cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
Very interesting. I want to talk about some of the big drugs that are out there. So when you had to pick the top three drugs that people are doing right now in your age group, your friends, what would those be? Marijuana being one of them, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Marijuana is a big one.
Let's add four, because alcohol is in there, too. Come up to the microphone and share with me what the big ones are. And they don't have to be. Everyone's list doesn't have to be the same. What do you think?
Top three. It's hard to, you know, really pick one out and highlight above the others, but it'd probably have to be alcohol, weed, I don't know. It's kind of a hard one because, like, I know a lot of people that do hallucinogenic drugs.
So,
I guess
like
I could just categorize everything
ecstasy.
From mushrooms to ecstasy to LSD.
Okay.
You know,
those are big right now.
Yeah, hallucinogenic drugs, and then the powders like crack and not crack, but cocaine and.
Is coke
and
really big in your age group? Or we have kids that are doing.
Yeah,
coke?
I know a lot of people who do it.
So what do you think when they start doing it? What's it about? They're doing it because it's sort of dangerous, bad stuff. They're doing it because it's cool looking. Why are they doing it?
Well, in my occasion, the people who do coke or meth or snort anything through their nose or do anything that includes strychnine, borax, dehydrated bleach, you know, baking soda, all mixed together, rat poison. And putting that into their bodies, to me, that seems like it's not only not the smartest thing to do. You know, you might as well just, like, take a needle and inject yourself with a couple cc's of bleach and just end it right there. You know, I mean, to me, it seems like these people are willing themselves to die because they don't feel like life is not worth living. It's too hopeless. And I, for one, think that's a crock because I've gone through some very severe depression, and I'm through it, and look at me now, I'm clean. So
you're saying there's definitely more to life than...
Oh, yeah. There's so much more to life than just drugs. And for people to not realize that, you know, that's fine. But eventually, you're going to have to come to a crossroads and embrace reality and say, hey, you know, either I can continue down this self-destructive path, or I can, you know, actually get my life together, quit selling my grocery money for coke, and actually make something out of my life. Go snowboarding when you actually feel like it, instead of having to borrow money from everybody, you know?
Right.
It's just, you don't need this. It's not a necessity.
Here's the thing, Jeff. There are people right now that are listening, and there are people right now that are moved by what you're saying, that are happy that there is somebody at your level as far as age and experience making those kinds of statements, but there's somebody out there listening saying, he's just full of it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He has no idea my life, and the fact that I choose to use drugs or alcohol is my business.
Oh, I'm not saying it is any of my business. I'm not saying that, you know, whoever's out there listening to me and saying I'm full of crap, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. But I don't think you need that because, you know, you're going to, I mean, just to get a fix, your first fix, you feel, you know, the initial reaction, and then the whole rest of your fixes, you know, you build up a tolerance. So it's never as good as the last one. And you keep needing more and more until you find yourself either A, dead, B, you know, you're like, have no place to live and you're bumming money on the streets just for coke, or C, you're just not even there anymore. You know, you're not even you. These people feel the need to delude themselves of the pains that go on in their life when you shouldn't be running away from them with, you know, drugs. You know, you should be, you know, embracing life and facing the challenges that are laid before you. Because if you don't, you never learn anything, and then you're doomed to repeat your past mistakes, and you'll never be anything more than the way you are.
Wise words from our friend Jeff. Josh, you want to add something to that?
I just want to say Jeff will be doing seminars next Saturday and Sunday. Go, Jeff.
Jeff speaks. What we're going to do right now is take a musical break. I believe Emily, or as you may know her, Barbara. Is going to play a tune.
Oh, yes, I am. You see, the other day, I was going through, like, my drawers, and I found this old tape that I made my freshman year, and it was my first, my introduction into the Descendants, which are now my favorite band, and I play them all the time, and I'm sure nobody else has ever heard them except for when you listen to Youth Voice. Yet another thing, we're culturing you, you know, we're giving you some culture.
We're culturing you.
Culturing you. Your yogurt. Anyways. Sorry. This Descendants, it's the Statue of Liberty. It's off Two Things at Once, which is an SST Records. Really, really, really good CD. You can't find it in stores, though. You'd have to go to sstsuperstore.com on the internet and get this one. This one, like, was discontinued a few years ago. Good, 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 good CD. So listen to it.
Well, there you
happy.
Go. There you go. A good CD here on 90.7 KSER. It's Youth Voice.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Youth Voice. This is Troy. Today we're talking about drugs. We just ended an interesting conversation around why people do drugs and why it's good or bad. I want to talk a little bit about the sorts of drugs that are available. And the reason why I asked about the big three or the big four is to... There's so many drugs out there right now. I mean, there's a ton. There's all sorts of designer drugs. There's drugs that you make at home after ordering the, you know, the supplies on the internet. There are drugs that you can purchase from your friends. The list goes on and on, not to mention the over-the-counter stuff that you can get, the, you know, NyQuil, DayQuil, crazy, crazy stuff like that. Here's my question, though. When we're talking about drugs like, oh, say, ecstasy, there's a big buzz around that. Oh, it's so exciting. It's such a great drug. It's so wonderful. I want to hear from, I know that Nate's got some opinions on this as well, so I want to talk to him about it first. Nate, talk to me about ecstasy. There's a whole, not only is it a popular drug in the sense that people like what, the way they feel on it, but there's a big culture around that as well.
Yeah, there's this whole, actually, it's more like a counterculture of people that kind of worship ecstasy, and there's even an organization that called Dance Safe Northwest, which goes out to clubs and parties and hands out flyers, and it's all information on the drugs that you're doing, and they even sell ecstasy test kits for a donation, so you can make sure you don't die, because, you know, people kind of feel that, you know, everyone's going to do it, so why don't they just let them do it safely?
Which very, very interesting.
Kind of odd.
Well, it's definitely a departure from the way we do things.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of not like that in popular culture. So when you look at the policies and the reaction from law enforcement and schools and parents and those sorts of things, it's not a question of they're going to do it anyway, give them the supplies to do it right. It's a question of they shouldn't be doing it at all because it's illegal. So yeah. There's no need for those sorts of resources because they shouldn't be doing it anyway.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me about ecstasy and the effects of ecstasy on people that you know that take it regularly.
They become very scatterbrained. They can forget things a whole lot easier than normal people would. I guess normal being no drugs. But they just forget things easily. They can just totally... be nuts. It's just weird.
I want to talk to Josh. I know that Josh has an idea as well. He's talked to some folks in that culture. Being someone who is clean and sober yourself, it must be sort of interesting to go into that whole sort of rave scene where there's a lot of that ecstasy going around and interact with these people.
Yeah, interacting with them, exactly. Like he said, a lot of memory loss. You know, I don't know permanent effects of memory loss, but I mean, like, you know, you'll be talking to someone, and a minute later, they'll ask you who you are. You know?
I think he told me a story about that, where he was like, hey, dude, what's your name?
And I was like, Josh. And he's like, hey, that's my name.
Right.
He asked me where I was from and everything. And literally, like, it was only like 30 seconds later, and that was, you know, he's looking around for a second, and he goes, hey, dude, what's your name?
And it's his own name.
Yeah, exactly. It's his own name. It's not hard to remember. And I go, Josh. And he goes, dude, that's my name.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, we laugh about that, but that's tragic.
I know, it is.
That is absolute idiocy.
But people, when they're on ecstasy, too, they get very lovey and, you know, a little aggressive there and just happy to see everyone kind of thing. But kind of crazy. You see some crazy looks on some people's faces. So,
were they just as sort of disconnected from reality, maybe?
Basically, yes. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Very interesting.
You know, these people, you know, before they're on the drug, they'll be like, oh, I'm just going to mellow and blah. And then they take the drug, and then they want to give you all these hugs and everything. It's like you can totally tell when it's the drug reacting and when it isn't, kind of thing. So.
Very interesting. I wonder, too, though, I mean, a lot of people who, they say it's, you know, the love drug, and oh, it's so wonderful, and you just love everything, and blah, 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 blah. How do they feel the next day? I mean, are they strung out? Are they, I mean, what's...
Well, I've heard it's just a huge downer after that. Like, you feel horrible the next day, but like I said, I've never tried it, so I'm not really sure, but yeah, it's a good question.
Very interesting. One of the big three that we were talking about, crystal meth. I hear a lot of people doing crystal meth. Can someone tell me a little bit about... It's very disturbing, the whole crystal meth thing, all drug use and that kind of stuff is, but I want to hear about the effects of crystal meth. I've never known, really, what what it feels like or what people are going after when they're doing crystal meth. It just seems hideous.
I've been like around like people and stuff have been on it, and it's like they get it's really hyper, really speeded up and really I don't know, just energized, and you don't sleep for like depending on how much you take, you know, good 3 days or so.
3 days?
Yeah. Yeah, you can go on for weeks, and that's I guess when hallucinations and stuff start kicking in.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Nate.
The drug really doesn't have that much of an effect. It just keeps you up. It's like caffeine. You don't really notice it, I guess.
Caffeine and times like 100.
Yeah, but it's not like a high like cocaine or anything. It's
so it's
just
not like a high, like an ecstasy high or right, an it's acid high or something. It's
more of a mental high.
Yeah, you're just alert.
You are just alert.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Why do people take it then? Why is it, I mean,
I don't know.
It's
stupid.
Yeah, it's like just to do it, I guess. Just to stay awake and just to have that mental, I guess, openness or mental like
you lost me.
Just that mental high, you know, and the
very, very, very interesting. And then what's another drug that we're going to talk about? Oh, go ahead, please share. Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's not really a mental high. It's
get real close to that microphone.
It's not really a mental high. It's a complete just physical high where you can do anything. Like, you can just, some people, they, like, claw into themselves because they just don't even realize it's hurting them. And, you know, next day you're bleeding or have blood dried to them. They plow into walls. It's just, not exactly plow into walls, but just awake, like, preternatural awake.
Very, very strange.
Yeah, it's different.
Sounds
it's not
like
it. Your average drug where you're just kind of floaty or, you know, kind of dizzy or, you know, intoxicated like high. It's just, it's like go on instinct. You're kind of like an animalistic type thing. It's just not exactly like a mind thing. I don't think it's a mind high at all. It's just, it motivates you in a way. Like you feel like do things, clean the house. A lot of people clean the house. You right. See like the people in the commercials scrubbing the bathroom tile and stuff. Yeah.
Weird, very
strange.
It's pretty
twisted.
It sounds twisted. It definitely sounds twisted. Jeff?
And let me say again, methamphetamines, rat killer, strychnine, bleach, sometimes even dehydrated Windex, Freon. Come on.
What?
You're putting this stuff into your nose, putting it directly into your brain. Why? Because you can. That's all I have to say about that.
Got it. Thank you, sir, for that. Yes, ma'am.
I had a friend who took a vacation and went to Arizona with another one of her friends, and she was at a party, and somebody was passing around something, and she was like, hey, let me try some of that, you know, because she was already pretty messed up. So she tried some. Next thing she knew, she didn't remember barely any of it, but she had all these bite marks all over her arm. She later found out that she had been biting herself. And they had to basically stick something in her mouth because she was flipping out. They had to babysit her because she just, I don't know, flipped out, found out she had done crystal meth. Pretty, pretty bad stuff from what I hear.
Sounds like a hoot. Nothing to add? Yes, sir.
Well, has anyone brought up acid? I mean, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. I mean, acid's huge. I mean, it's been huge for a long time, since the 60s, since it first reared its ugly head.
Yeah.
Created a culture.
I'd know, but yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know either, but if you know your history.
I read about the 70s in history books.
Yeah, all right. So, talk to me about LSD. I mean, is that
I don't know
that
much about
it,
so yeah, whoever wants to get up here.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm glad you could join us today.
I'm glad I could too.
So talk to me. What do you know?
So, well, I've heard, you know, LSD referred to, you know, like you get a lot of visuals and everything. But I think compared to like the other big hallucinogenic drug, like shrooms, that I think that LSD is a lot more mental and you think a lot more and you just disconnect yourself from the things that you realize really don't matter in your life. Like, if you smell perfect or you look perfect that day or something, or weird things like that. And you get to, like, you think about what's more meaningful to you.
Okay. Okay.
At least that's my experience.
All right. Well, no, thank you. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, from what I know, it's mental, but it's a lot physical because you feel physically different.
Got it. Got it. And now, there are some ramifications from doing these drugs as well. I mean, we talked about ecstasy, and there's a phrase going around, it's a little crass, kind of rude, but they call them etards because they are... Because they've lost their ability to sort of function, their brain cells are depleted, so to speak. But LSD, people that take a lot of LSD, it's almost the same sort of deal.
It's actually worse than E because the brain cells and the acid cells hook to the brain cells and then kill off any more brain cells that try and come and connect. And so basically your high is brain cells dying. That's what's causing the high. They're being actually taken out and killed.
Lovely.
And that, so, it, yeah. And from things that have happened that day or recently influences how you feel and what you see.
Very interesting. So the sort of the mood that you're in is really part of the high then.
Yeah.
Got it. Got it. Well, so we're talking a lot about the drugs and the effects of drugs. What we're going to do when we come back is talk about some personal stories and share some misconceptions, potentially, about drugs in our community. I think it's a musical break right now, is it not, Nathan?
Yep.
You're going to play a song.
Yeah, it's off of one of my favorite CDs. You know, it's been out for a couple years, but I've kind of rediscovered it out of my CD collection. It is Brand Van 3000, which was a project put together by a couple guys in Canada, and everyone who came over contributed to the music, and they put out one CD, and that was it, and it is called Glee, but the song is Everywhere, and it's off the album Glee, so check it out.
As long as we're getting a bit technical, I'd like to remind you that most women and children can perceive higher frequencies of sound than most men.
Don't you know that you're gonna break through?
Welcome back to Youth Voice. This is Troy. Today we're talking about drugs. We had a very interesting conversation about the effects of drugs. Now we're going to talk about some other stuff. Misconceptions, mainstream drugs versus hardcore drugs. This came up in our conversation earlier, and I don't know exactly how I feel about the question, but do you think that there's such a thing as sort of mainstream okay drugs and then the hardcore bad stuff? Is there some stuff that's okay to take and some stuff that ain't?
Sorry, that took so long.
That's all right.
Headphones were kind of stuck. I think that pretty much marijuana and alcohol are just accepted. And other things, people are like, I mean, as soon as they hear you taking stuff like if you're taking, I don't know, cocaine, heroin, stuff like that, people are just like, whoa, all right, you need to back off. That's a little too much, you know.
Don't you think that, does LSD sort of make that hardcore list?
I'd say yes, but that's just in my personal opinion. I mean, I think acid's pretty, like, accepted too, but I don't know. Some of those things, they get a little wild, and people are just like, I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be around that. They don't mind. A lot of people don't mind if you're at a party and they see you smoking pot or they see you drinking. That's no big deal. But if they see you doing something more hardcore, then they're just like, I don't want to be around that. You know, you need to leave. Or I have one of my friends who actually kicked out his best friend because his friend was like, I want to go do some lines. And he's like, you bring that stuff anywhere near this house, I will seriously not be your friend anymore.
So, folks, you know, in talking about this drug issue, there's going to be a lot of opinions expressed that and some facts stated, for instance, that, you know, kids will sit around at a party and smoke pot. If that's a new concept to you, you are a little disconnected. I just want to share that right away. And also to say that this is a great opportunity for adults who care about kids to sort of hear what their lives are like and what they're getting involved in and find ways to address that without sort of being preachy. When we're talking about addressing the issue of drug abuse, what do you think about DARE?
DARE was pretty much a waste of time, in my opinion.
Honestly, And why so?
I feel like we said earlier in the meeting, it's a scare tactic. They, you know, basically said, you know, it's all gateway. Everything is a gateway drug, and you're going to get into hardcore stuff, and then you're going to die, you know? And okay. I think that's just going a little too far. I personally think that it basically tells you what to look out for. I mean, it helps. It's like, you know, these pills have rat poisoning in them, like, you know, Jeff has said like 1,000 times today. But I mean, I learned that in DARE. But other than that, basically it was just scary. It was supposed to scare me. And I know, you know, I know a lot of friends. They've been through DARE. And as soon as they were out of DARE, they were like, well, that stuff sounds kind of interesting. Why don't we go try some, you know?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you. Yes, sir. Your thoughts on DARE?
Yeah, I think they should have gave us the truth and not tried to scare us. I basically thought DARE was a joke. It was just, you know.
Yeah, you want to get, yeah, you take your hand off the thing is what they're saying, but get your face close to the microphone. And so you thought, now your statement was, you wish they would have given you the truth. In what regard?
Well, they should have told us what it does and the effects and what it does to your body. And they should have just been honest with us about it instead of saying, you know, if you smoke pot, you're going to die, which is, I mean, that they said that about every single drug that they were talking about. You do it once, there's a good chance you'll just die like that. And that's, I mean, they should have just sat down and told us the truth about it. Told us that, okay, this does this and this does this. And if you do this, you have a chance of getting addicted. And it's not, you won't always get addicted. Not everybody does. But some people are more apt to get addicted than others. They should have sat down and laid it all out. But what they did for us was they just brought in this plaque of the drugs and a little bit of every drug and showed us. And then they'd bring in their dogs and just waste time. And it was,
and basically said, touch these and you will die.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. No, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. I and your words are echoed by many, many people throughout the county, adults included. adults included, adults who really look at the DARE program and are concerned that it does not do what it is meant to do. That is not to say that the people who run DARE are these evil, vindictive sorts of folks, but that they are definitely trying to educate people around drugs, but is it effective? That's the question, and you're saying no.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Statistics show that, honestly, DARE hasn't done much. The drug rate for teens has pretty much stayed the same, and if not, gone a little bit higher. I mean, they're basically really not doing anything to help out. It's just a waste of taxpayer money.
Alrighty. So noted. Yes, sir.
I haven't gone through DARE, but that's why I keep hearing from everyone that it was a waste of time, and a couple people said, well, you know, taught them how to use a pipe or this and that, you know. I just remember people saying stuff like that, and really is a waste of time is basically what they said. I mean, one person told me that the DARE officer that taught them was actually his neighbor, and he had smoked pot with the guy before. So, you know, I don't know. Take what you will from that, but.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, I went to a school where, like, the DARE club or whatever was the biggest club in the whole school. And the only reason was because every time they had, like, weekly meetings, and they would give you candy if you actually showed up to the meetings. So people would just sign up to, like, go in and get the free stuff. And they'd throw dances and stuff. And, like, a bunch of the people I knew used to go there, like, frying, just because they thought it would be really funny.
So they knew that it was a clean and sober event, but they were going high anyway just because hardy har har.
Exactly. Cause it, and the DARE people that were the chairmen of the DARE program were just joking about it anyway, too. So I don't really think it's worth what we spend on it.
You're saying DARE ineffective.
Yes, I do.
Very, very interesting. So we're establishing that DARE doesn't work. We've got some people who say that there are some applications of drug use in their personal life. We have other people who say you should not do drugs because it will kill you, or that you are damaging your body. What, you know, there's this huge war on drugs right now, and DARE is one of those tools. And DARE is one of those tools in the same vein of other tools that are scare tactics, that are trying to educate you by scaring you, essentially. How do you get people to stop using drugs? Do you? Is it important?
I think that it has to be their own personal decision not to do it. And I think that part of the reason that DARE is such a waste of time, and it's proven by the statistics, is that kids are going to do drugs if they want to. And you really can't do much besides educate them, and not try to scare them, just educate them, tell them what's going on. You know, if you try to scare them, you know, a lot of people don't even listen to that. They're just, oh, whatever, they're just trying to scare me, you know. People can read through that. I think that if we just educated people about things, it would make, you know, life a little easier on everybody.
You know, what do you think about the philosophy behind drug abuse education? I mean, isn't that probably the most important piece? I mean, at least when I think about educating somebody, it's less about stuffing your ideals down their throat and more about helping them to identify who they are in relationship to the issue.
Yeah, it's like if you just accept the fact that quite a few kids are going to do it. I mean, like, that's what basically happened with my parents, is they accepted the fact that there's going to be a time in my life where I will try this type of thing. And it's not like they condoned it, but they didn't, you know, try to hide, you know, try to, like, shelter me or do anything like that. It's part of growing up, especially in America. And I think that's just the way it's going to be. And I think that education is the best way to go.
I had something when you asked that question. I just don't remember it because you guys went off a little bit.
So we're talking about how do you get people to stop using, or does it matter?
You cannot get anyone to willingly stop doing drugs. It does not work. We as people are influential only to a certain extent. If you have someone doing drugs and they want this, you know, however warped that may sound, whatever their excuses or explanations for using the drugs are, you know, people cannot stop them. I mean, really. They can go to rehab. They can go wherever. The parents can send them away to wherever. But they will not be stopped if it's not in their wills. If they don't want to, they're not going to. And they're going to continue until it kills them or they learn a life lesson, such as I was talking earlier about.
Here's my question, then. If you've got somebody who's about to kill themselves and their life is an absolute mess, and you know it is, and you know that they're doing too much, they're doing drugs every day of various different types, and we all know that person. We all have a person in our life that's doing that, that is abusing themselves so much through the use of drugs and alcohol. Oh, it looks like we've got some people holding up 10 fingers. Yeah, we know those people. Is it then our job just to sit and watch? Is it our job to support that? Is it our job to stop them?
I don't think it's our job to stop them. You know, we can't stop them. We have no pull on what they do on their lives. It's their lives to utilize or destroy however they see fit. If they don't see it as destroying, that's fine. That's their opinion, their perception. It's duly noted. However, they should know that it will end up killing them. You know, that's the bottom line.
All right. All right. Thank you, Cher. Yes, ma'am.
No matter what you do, you can't stop someone from doing it. My best friend since I was 4, has been put in asylums, rehab, sent to far-off places in the world to get herself away from drugs, sent by her parents. She came back like a month ago, and she's doing meth, and she's doing coke, and she's smoking pot, and she's drinking every day, just like she was 2 years ago. She was gone for 2 years. I mean, it doesn't matter that she'd been sober for 2 years. It was just, it's who you are. After a certain amount of time, it doesn't matter if you're removed from the situation, if it's still you and you haven't changed yourself and you haven't decided that you want anything else. Nobody can make you decide that. No situation can make you change that. It has to be something inside of you. And yeah.
Jeff, you have an addendum to that? Quickly, please.
Of course, I have an addendum. like Tiana was saying, you know, if that's who they are, I don't believe that, because drugs are not a reflection of who they are. It's a reflection of who you don't want to be, because they don't want to feel the bad thing that's happened in their lives. So they need an escape, and this escape is going to be drugs because it dilutes the pain. I understand that. However, I don't agree with it, because you need pain to learn. No, it's kind of like, I hate to say it, but no pain, no gain. Something the baby boomers came up with. You know, I hate to agree with them, but if you don't have pain, you don't have gain. It's kind of like when you're exercising your muscles. When you're doing those bench presses, you know, and your arms start burning, that's not because they're being, you know, destroyed. That's because you're building them up. It's taking the old muscle, breaking it down, and making it stronger. And if you understand that analogy, great. If not, I'm not going to explain it to you, because you should be smart enough to understand it already.
That's right. You should be smart enough.
Josh. I agree with Jeff and Tiana, where you know, you can't make anybody do what they don't want to do. I mean, I found that numerous times. I really thought I could help these people out, and I really thought they were coming to me for help, but really, all they wanted was sympathy. And you have to determine, you have to decide what they're really looking for, and do they really want help, or are they really, you know, do they really want to change and this and that. And, you know, I found, like, most people really don't. Rarely do you find someone who actually wants to change and whatever. So, I mean, so for my friends that do drugs, I usually just, you know, I'm supportive of them or whatever, and they're usually surprised because I don't do anything, you know. They think I'd be so against it, but it's like, no, there's nothing I can do about it. It's
so you don't like haul off and punch him in the head, or put him in a headlock and say, you know, don't do drugs.
Or yeah, I don't even drill him on it, because, you know, I found that it just really doesn't help. Nothing really does. You know, it really has to come from within them. And, you know, you might be able to do something maybe that inspires them or this and that, but you never know when that's going to happen. And it really has to come from the person.
Here's something that's a little disturbing, is that there are folks who will try a drug for the first time, experimenting like we're talking about, and from that point on, it's a downhill slide until they destroy themselves or someone else in the process. It happens all the time. It happens to young people a lot. It happens to young people in our county a lot. How do we address that? How do we, doesn't it become our job to start protecting our children from, even if it's from themselves? What do you think? I mean, I'm looking for input.
Well, I think that the downhill slope, it's, you know, of course it's our business. You know, of course it's the parents' business. You know, it's their child. You know, the downhill slope, it's everyone's business, because you are willingly, you know, even if you don't want to, you're willingly accepting the fact that you are going downhill. You're embracing that. You're embracing the side of you that you never thought you would, you know. And for those of you out there who are thinking, oh, I always knew I'd be a junkie, you know, hey, cool.
Score one for you, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to hear from some other folks as well. When does it become, I mean, we're talking about teens here, and I understand that as a teen, you're looking at your life and you're realizing that you have some power to make some decisions for yourself. But there's also the other side of that coin, and that is there are many decisions that you are going to be asked to make that you're not ready to make. For instance, having a child or something along those lines, drug use being one of those things. What you do now will affect your life forever. Neil is so nodding off in the middle of what I'm saying. I'm serious. He's doing the head bob thing. It's disturbing. Aren't I compelling? But really, I mean, do you accept that? Do you know that there's going to be times when adults are going to come to you and say, you can't do this. It's stupid to do this, even though you think it's okay? And is that all right? Is that cool for adults to do? I mean, that's sort of what Derek comes from, that need to reach out to kids and educate them at a young age before they make the mistakes that will destroy their entire life. Yes, sir.
Well, I know when I was younger, when my parents would tell me to do something or they'd get on my case to do something, I'd go do the opposite. I mean, it's the whole rebellion thing. Your parents tell you to not do drugs. I mean, most of the time you're going to go at least try it, because, you know, kids want to rebel from their parents, and they usually do.
Got it. Got it. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my parents were pretty liberal in how they raised me, because they really didn't say what I wasn't allowed to do. They let me go out and do whatever it was I wanted to. And they told me about things like stories that they had from when they did drugs in the 60s and 70s. And like the bad things about it and that kind of stuff. And they let me go out and make my own decisions. And I think overall I've done pretty well. And they were very supportive. I think that really helped me a lot was they were very supportive to just sit back and wait for me to come to them and ask them questions and, like, tell me that they're there for me if I need it.
So do you think that sort of set the stage for you as an older teen now? You're moving into your adult years in just a couple steps. Do you think that sort of interaction and that sort of philosophy in relationship to drugs, and I would imagine most parental issues like sex or those kinds of things, does that change who you are as a person?
No.
Are you a better person for it?
Well, it helps me understand the world a little bit more. It keeps me from that shock of when you actually start becoming an adult, that the world isn't what your parents said it was going to be. So it's kind of easier for me to adjust.
Got it. Very good. Very, very good point. That's very interesting. Another comment. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going to be honest. You see, my parents really can't say much about what I do right now because they used to do it when they were my age. So they turned out all right. I mean, they know that I'm smart enough that I'm not going to get myself into too much trouble. I'm not going to be doing anything stupid like drinking and driving home. Or I'm not going to let anybody else that I know who's been drinking drive home. That's just not cool.
But is that the norm, though? Is that, I mean, at high school parties across the county, are people saying, no, you will not drive home. You will stay here because I care about you, because you could kill somebody. Is that the norm?
It depends on the party. I've been to parties where it's just been a few close friends, where there's been maybe 10 or 11 of us, and people have just been like, look, you're staying at my house tonight. You know, I'm not going to let you go home because that's, I don't want to be responsible for, you know, you in a ditch, dead. I don't want that to happen. But then there's other parties where, you know, the people who are throwing the party don't know half the people at their house. And so they don't really care what happens. It doesn't matter to them.
Got it. So they have all kinds of strangers in there partying down, and then they send them on their way home.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people just do stupid things when they're drunk. Like, I had a friend who stopped drinking because he, him and his, one of his other friends were joking around, and they decided to do things to each other, and the guy decided, hey, I wonder what it would feel like if I hit you in the head with a 2x4.
Oh.
So he hit the other guy in the head with a 2x4, and the other guy passed out, and he was all right, though. They figured out he was all right, and he went home and slept for 4 days, and they finally went, he's not all right. Took him to the emergency room, and he had a concussion. He's all right now. I mean, he was never, like, the smartest guy I know, but... I mean, it's just, they stopped drinking after that.
So I've got to say that, when you look at situations like that, I find it real hard to say, yeah, teens will do drugs. That's okay. That's cool.
Well, I'm not saying that
it's okay.
That's cool.
Let them party down. That's okay. And I wonder what it feels like to run you over. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what it feels like if I were to pop your eyeball out of your head. I mean, duh.
I told you that they're not the smartest people.
But these are the
I know.
People that are representing you. These are the people that are representing you. And so I just find it hard to deal with that sort of stupidity.
Well, yeah, I was at this party, right? And I was one of the only people who wasn't drinking. And slowly everyone started
throwing up? Is that what you're trying to say?
Throwing up all of them.
He's lost it.
Okay, throwing up all of you, themselves and each other. And it was just kind of like, oh yeah, you know, another 5 seconds comes around and someone else goes off, you know? And it was almost humorous, except for it was pathetic. You know, I'm sorry, but these people were pathetic. That's all I could think.
I can imagine. What, they're throwing up on themselves and others? What? Party down.
They all passed out early and throwing.
Oh, mercy. You know, and I think that that's a good statement to say.
They were throwing up on themselves.
And, lots of stupid things happen.
I laugh, you know, because no one really got hurt or anything, you know. But it was pretty stupid, and I said to myself, you know, this is why I don't drink. This is why I don't do these things.
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. You know, I know there's a lot of people who have some more things to say, but we're going to save them because we're going to go to a musical break. Nate, who's going to play a song? Is it Neil?
Yes, it's Neil.
Neil?
What's up, yo?
I'm glad you got up from your nap.
Yeah, I had a... If you had party favors at that party, too.
I don't want to hear about it. Please just play the song.
All right. I'm playing AFI, and it's called At a Glance. That's the song title. And it's off the album Black Cells in the Sunset, which is, in my opinion, best album ever made.
Holy smokes.
It's a very good album. That I've heard, so.
All right, folks, you're listening to Youth Voice here on 90.7 KSER.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Youth Voice. This is Troy. You know, we want to continue with this conversation, but Nate, do you have any sort of mystical music? Some sort of something that will set the tone for the next portion of the show? Anything at all?
I might. I don't know. I'm kind of lacking on my CD collection.
Well, can you pop something in and let's see what we got? Is this it? Listening, waiting. That works. You know, every show we have a new segment. It's the horoscopes with Jessica.
Hello, you mystical people. Okay, here we go. Aries, your dreams this week will tell you a lot, so sleep deeply and pay attention. Taurus, hey there, bulls. The fuse is short this week, so stay as far out of the fire as possible. Gemini, drugs are bad, and so are certain people. Are they worth it? You decide. Cancer. Show them you can take charge when they need it, and many rewards will follow. Leo. The world is a very strange place, full of very strange people. Ready to explore? Virgo. Work is work, but that doesn't mean it can't be fun. Take some time in the elevator to try out some new skits. Libra. Careful, you've seen the dog's teeth. Ready to feel how much they hurt? Scorpio. Beware. Mean people lurk in dark places. Sagittarius. The world is full of wonderful things. Frolic. Capricorn. No means no. Take a vacation. Aquarius. Don't forget that someone extra special. Out of sight doesn't necessarily mean out of mind. And finally, our wonderful Pisces. If the parking lot looks crowded, it probably means it is. Thank you.
Very deep. Very, very, very deep.
Yes, I know.
I like the one about trying out skits in the elevator. That's very funny. I'm going to do that at work. Oh, we don't have an elevator. Stairwell?
Stairwell could work.
Okay, stairwell. Porta potty? No, we don't want skits in the porta potty. Welcome back to Youth Voice. You know, today we're talking about the issue of drugs. Now, this is such a hard topic because there's so many people with so many different viewpoints on drug use and abuse. Some people who say that drugs should be banished, that we should waste. Oops. That we should utilize every resource at our fingertips to stop the influx of drugs from other countries like Mexico and other places. Did you hear about the big e-bust? They're mailing in some e from France. It was like billions of dollars worth of e. A big crate load. And they busted them. I don't know. I guess they have to ship them over here some way.
A bunch of e-tards busted them.
All right, go sit down. Thank you very much. Anyway, so... But then there's a whole other group of people who say that drugs should be legalized. Boy, the ramifications of that are massive. They're massive. What do you think? Legalization of drugs? Yay or nay? And why? And why? Yes, Josh?
The Pelican says drugs are bad.
Welcome to a radio show. Do you? It's a flamingo, first of all. But what are your thoughts on
flamingo?
Jokes are bad.
All right. Thank you very much. Go have a seat. Working my nerves today. I'm telling you. Yes, ma'am. Legalized or not?
I think they should be legalized, because then the government can keep track of them, like they do with cigarettes and alcohol. They could tax them so people spend way too much for them. And they could make sure the purity is correct so people don't take more OD, they OD less.
Plus
it's the whole, if it's legal, then it's not as much fun anymore, you know?
You think that's true? That's an interesting comment that she made. If it's legal, it's not as much fun anymore. Is that true?
Well, I think, you know, it's like reverse psychology right there.
Got it. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. Please share.
There's lots of background noise in here.
The background noise that needs to stop, actually. Thank you very much. Put the flamingo away. The flamingo is not a weapon. Yes, sir.
It's a pet. Yeah, that was intelligent. Anyway.
But your thoughts.
So we're talking about, should it be legalized? I don't really know. Should it be? What are your opinions?
You want to know what my thoughts are?
Yeah, I do.
I think... It's a hard one, because part of me feels like, how are you going to stop people from taking drugs if they want to? People do now. Lots of different kinds of people do drugs. What would our world look like if drugs were legalized? Would that mean that all the people who aren't doing drugs right now would rush to the local drug mart to pick up their, you know, straight shot of heroin or something? I mean, I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that that's the case at all. If you were able to monitor the sort of drugs that were being used in our community and provide them at a safe, clean environment, would that change the way that drug use looks? Definitely, I think it would. Is it good for people? I know. Welcome to radio. You come to the microphone. Neil's over here raising his hand. Call on me next. But it's a difficult thing for me. I don't know because you look at alcohol, and people abuse alcohol in a really big way, and then they destroy their lives with it, and that's legal.
Well, yeah. Well, then in that case, I think that, okay, in my experience, I experience more violence with people when they're drinking than I do if they're on, you know, marijuana, you know. I'll just keep it at marijuana, because I don't know all the other ones. But people when they're on marijuana, they seem to be much more lazy, and that's a drawback to society, because if we have a bunch of lazy stoners running the nation, then what gets done? Nothing.
Well, I gotta tell you that there are a lot of people. I mean, I know some kids, great, great kids, and that now smoke pot on a daily basis. And you know what they are? Big losers.
Well, I'm not saying everybody who smokes pot is a loser.
I don't know that I'm saying that either, but I know that there are people who smoke pot on a daily basis who are losers, bar none.
Well, okay, granted, but, you know, I'm just saying the people on my occasion, people of my occasion who I know of smoke weed, they're really, really lazy.
Got it.
All right, that's I'm not going to go into detail, but that's...
I hear what you're saying. They don't take care of business. They don't take care of their home. They don't take care of themselves. They don't follow through with their responsibilities because they're too stoned.
And the same as with other drugs. If you're on other drugs, then it's kind of hard to keep a sanitary living environment if...
Well, we did hear that people who take meth are very clean in the way that they must clean their house. Got it. Thank you very much. Okay, drug legalization, yes or no? John, I want to hear what you have to say about this. Drug legalization. Should it happen? Should it not happen?
Oh, you're making me talk now.
Ah!
Fine. Okay. Hello. Never mind. Anyways, I've heard a bunch of arguments on both sides, and I've heard that in a lot of ways, economically, there are reasons for it, because people have said that if you legalize drugs, then you won't have, like, there'll be, like, the government will be able to control it, possibly, and the government will have more control over the trafficking of the substances, and also the whole reverse psychology sort of thing. And I don't know, I've thought about it, and I kind of disagree with most of those arguments, because the reverse psychology, for one, look at alcohol, I mean, that's legal, and people still use it. It's not any rebellious thing, it's just, they just want to get drunk, or whatever, you know. So I'm thinking a lot of the drug use isn't for the rebelliousness, it's just because they want to get high. And the other thing about having more control over it, I think if the government tried to legalize it but limit it, again, like, look at alcohol, it's legal but it's limited, but still people under 18 are 21 are using it. And so even if the government tries to control it, I don't think there's much control. I don't think it would be able to exercise too much control that would stop people, you know, that would restrict them too much. So my stance on the issue is I'm against legalizing drugs because I don't think it would do much, and it would be more more harmful than good.
More harmful than helpful. Got it. Yes, ma'am, your thoughts.
Okay, I think in reference to the whole alcohol theme, where even though it's legal, people still use it, it's just like, it takes away the stigma, though. Like what this... it had when alcohol had when the prohibition was going on, it was like the cool, interesting thing to do, you know, because you were like breaking the law and you were like into the deep
sort of
underworld.
Edge.
You had the inside scoop on what was going down.
And that's kind of, and that is sort of the deal with recreational drug use, is it not? I mean, people say, hey, you know, I'm sort of underground. I'm kind of a bad kid.
Exactly.
I'm causing trouble. I'm smoking pot because it's bad.
Yeah, it's part of my look, man.
Right. Jess got something to say. Do you want to add some more, or are you?
Well, so I just figure, you know, if you legalize it, then it takes away the power, a lot of the power that the drug has.
Got it.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong. All right, prohibition happened, and that was that not what brought on a lot of that gangster activity? Was it?
I think that was definitely a big piece of it, yeah.
Yeah, so if
it didn't bring it on. I mean, organized crime was crime before prohibition, but you're right, that was a big piece of that.
And that brought on a lot of the gangster stuff. No, now bear with me, I'm here. I'm thinking as I'm talking.
Got it. All right,
so since...
walk through the process.
So since the gangsters became a big problem, you know, during prohibition, because it was illegal, they kept doing it. The crime rate rose throughout the nation, right?
Okay.
I'm just throwing stuff out. I don't even know if it's correct. All right.
I'm just making up my facts. I don't really know.
No, I'm not educated enough on the subject to actually say anything. I'm just taking it the way I saw it in history class. Anyways, so now that we've got alcohol legal, and, you know, that's not a big deal. But now that we've got the drugs illegal, you know, that's keeping a big crime rate because of the drugs. So maybe Okay, we could if we made those legal, the crime rate would go down substantially. Granted, however, what's the consequences of everybody of a large population doing these drugs?
Exactly. That's a very, very good question.
I mean, the scenarios that you can come up with are endless. I mean, you can have, you know, almost anything you can think of. It might even turn into an anarchist government or something. I don't know if that's truly possible, but, you know, you never know. It's something to think about. Food for thought here. Well, what would happen if drugs were legal? If drugs were legal, would everybody be doing it? Would... Yeah, I don't know. It's a toughie.
It is a very, very interesting question, because there are a lot of things that we need to consider in relationship to the legalization of drugs. And, I mean, I guess for me, it's a question of philosophy. Can anybody really determine what you can or cannot do with your own body? I mean, you know, it's sort of like they can make a law that says you cannot do this, but ultimately, it's your body. You are the one that makes the choice.
Well, they can't make you do it, and they shouldn't have that right to make you do anything you don't want, or to keep you from anything. And no matter what the circumstances would be, you know, everyone's still going to, not everyone, but a lot of people are still going to find a way to do it, you know? I mean, it's their own body. They're going to do what they will with it, so.
Got it. Thank you. I know we've got people cutting in front. I know. Do you have something you want to add? Oh, you're just standing. Okay, good, good. Please share.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, it's not entirely like, but it's kind of like the abortion thing. It's your body, and you're going to do with it what you will. So it's better to keep it safe and in the hands of professional doctors than people who really don't know what they're doing, just on the street and just selling it, doing whatever to make a buck.
All right. So, you know, we could open up a whole can of worms here when we start talking about abortion and those sorts of things. But the same philosophy sort of applies to drug use. If you are somebody who's addicted to drugs, and let's say you're a mama, you're a daddy, and you've got to take care of business. You've got to pay the bills for your babies. You've got to provide health care. You've got to provide transportation, clothing, food, basic necessities, a roof over your head. I know a lot of folks who spend a lot of money on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And on that entire lifestyle of doing drugs. To the degree that their kids are taken away from them and they lose their homes and they do all those sorts of things. When your irresponsible behavior, and I don't mean you, but when your irresponsible behavior begins to damage another individual, Is there no right for us, or is there no responsibility for us as a society to intervene and say, you know what, the reason why drugs are illegal is because it destroys lives, period. Because there are lots of people who are hurting. There are lots of people who are addicted. There's lots of people whose lives are ruined, who die on a daily basis in relationship to drug and alcohol use. So how can we legalize it if we know that it's going to kill people? How can we legalize it if we know it's going to destroy families?
Well, we legalized alcohol, and that destroys families too.
So based on that philosophy, then, we should legalize drugs.
Yes,
and
so
that's the right thing to do?
At least they're being supplied in recommended doses, or so that you can.
Exactly, because you know the people are at home taking the recommended dosage of beer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Got it. Okay. I kind of threw you a loop there. Yes, sir.
I just want to butt in here for a moment and say from a political standpoint, let the people make their own decisions.
That's but don't all. You think we do, though? You don't think we have the power to make our own decisions?
No. Well, I mean, with the whole, you know, make it legal, and you know, if you make it legal, you can let them say, hey, you can do what you want, public, fine. But we're not taking responsibility for your actions anymore, because you're doing it to yourself and to everyone around you. That's it.
But the way that our society is structured is that if you suddenly do mess your life up, your children then become dependent upon the state to give them their, you know, basic necessities, and then it becomes our job anyway.
That's why you give people on welfare piss tests.
Nice. Wonderful word. Thank you for sharing. Yes.
I just cut in front of John.
You did? Cut in front of John, and he's livid.
Okay, I think you kind of hit on a good point when you said, you know, what about the kids? I think that's one of the biggest reasons why drugs should be illegal, when it starts to hurt innocent people. And, you know, kids, of course, are innocent in the cases where, you know, parents don't have enough money to buy the kids food because they got to buy it for whatever. I mean, I've seen that with, you know, we can't buy food this week because, you know, we don't have enough, but that's my dad's cigarette money, you know. But that's just with cigarettes, too, you know, and that's sad, you know. I mean, these kids have to suffer for their parents' addictions and this and that, and obviously these parents are incompetent. They shouldn't have kids in the first place. I mean, that's almost a different
issue. You know, that is the real issue, isn't it? I mean, I think that there needs to be some sort of parenting test.
Exactly.
I think...
I mean, if they weren't doing that, they'd be doing something else, because obviously they're not too bright.
Exactly. And many... Yeah, I hate to be to generalize, but I do think that there are some people who are parents that shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that they should have had abortions. I'm saying they shouldn't have gotten pregnant in the first place, or their kids should have been taken away.
Yep.
And given to a family who would love them.
I know. You can find that. It's so common, you know. And you want me to list names? I can know some people we can talk about that shouldn't have kids.
No, but I have an idea. Thank you very much, and have a seat. John, what do you think?
To go to that whole, the analogy of abortion and how it's your own body, you should do what you want. I think that you can't really use that, because an abortion, you know, that is pretty much your own body, and it is the realm of who it affects is, I mean, it's a personal thing. It affects only you, really. But to take drugs, it's not the same. Drugs, like, it reaches farther than that. It hurts the person alone and the person surrounding that, and it reaches much farther than that. And Josh was saying you should have the right to do whatever you want, and it's our individual right. The thing is, yeah, you're free to do whatever you want, but you're not allowed to go and violate someone else's rights. And drugs, it pulls you down and pulls everyone down around you, and that's not right, and that's violating other people's rights. So, again, I don't believe in legalizing drugs.
Once again, John says nay.
Okay, I'm not for legalizing drugs. I want to make that right off the bat. But I actually have two comments. First of all, I'd just like to go off of what John says. Okay, you're saying that drugs affect more than just the person, but abortion only affects one person. I think abortion affects a lot more than just one person. It affects the person that was inside of you, whether, you know, there's the issue of is it alive yet or not, but it's still affecting that future to-be person. It is affecting the person who... The man who got the woman pregnant and the woman who decided to have the abortion. It's affecting a lot of people. I don't think that you can make that analogy quite right, my personal opinion. But then on top of that, I'd like to go on to the family issue. I've seen families torn apart by skydiving, all right? This man loved to skydive so much that he didn't spend money on anything else. All he did was go skydiving. And pretty soon, he had to get a divorce because his wife would not look up to that. I mean, would
not
put up
with that. You know what I say? Legalize skydiving. That's what I say.
people get rushes off of a lot of different things.
That's true.
It's just some of the analogies that people are putting forth just aren't holding up with me. Because there's so many different,
But I think it's a matter of context. I definitely do. I mean, there are certain activities that are great, that are healthy for you. But
skydiving can kill you also.
But anything outside of moderation, anything in the sort of frantic paces, if you're doing drugs every day, if you're skydiving every day, if you're, you know, picking your nose at every possible opportunity.
Well, I go to school every day.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. And I don't know. I mean, I go to work every day.
I know. I think that's pretty excessive that I go to school every day.
I think it's excessive that they make me work every day.
Yeah. Why don't they just, like...
Work in moderation.
Yeah.
That's my new...
Yeah. I have to still... I'm, like, the
only one who's in the Youth of Voice realm that still left at Toys R Us, and they make me work all the time, too.
They do. They do. Folks, you know, we have had a very, very interesting conversation today around the issue of drug use and drug abuse and legalization and all kinds of stuff. What we really want is your feedback. What I would love for you to do is share with me your thoughts. You can do so in one of two ways. You can either email us, youthvoice@hotmail.com. Our staff of teens are waiting to hear from you, and we sit down and we share that feedback, that commentary, and we respond and read them on the air as well. You can also do me a favor and call me. You can talk to me face-to-face or voice-to-voice over the phone, 425-258-9211, extension 106. Now, Youth Voice is a program of the Everett Family YMCA brought to you in conjunction with our friends here at 90.7 KSER Adventurous Radio, and it really is an adventure when we're on the air. We meet on a weekly basis. Every Sunday we get together and we map out what we're going to do for the show to the degree that even we've even mapped out what we're going to talk about next week, religion and spirituality. Watch out. Heavy-duty topics coming to you next week. I hope you've enjoyed the show, because we sure have enjoyed bringing it to you. What I would like you to do is have a wonderful week. And Nate's going to play us a little song. And do me a favor, when you're listening to this show, know that after the show comes my favorite station or show. Neil, shh. I've got a weapon here, Neil. I want you to stay tuned to, I want you to stay tuned for Pastors O'Plenty with Dave Moody, who's coming up next. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
The tears of a clown make the whole world laugh. Hee hee. And on that note, man, just give me a call, all right? Peace.
End of message. Thank you.